Good morning.
Good morning.
Welcome into Long Meadow Church of the Brethren to our other family on the other side of the camera. Welcome, welcome, welcome to the sermon titled, Whole Lot of Shaking Going On. Our scripture today comes from Hebrews chapter 12, starting in the 18th verse all the way to the 29th verse. And while you're looking that up, two farmers at a conference were talking. One farmer was from Nebraska, and the other was from Texas. And the farmer from Nebraska said, "We finally expanded our farm to meet with the dairy operations that we need to do, and now we're farming close to 5,000 acres. It sure does take a lot to get around across that farm." And the farmer from Texas said, "Well, that ain't nothing. You guys in Nebraska think 5,000 acres is a big farm. I don't even know how to measure my farm. But it's so big that if I start out in the morning, it takes me an entire day to get across it. What do you think of that, Mr. Nebraska?" And the Nebraska farmer looked at him and said, "Yeah, I had a Chevrolet truck like that one time. And yeah, I'm going to pay for that one. I should have said Dodge." Hebrews chapter 12, verse 18. "You have not come to a mountain that can be touched and that is burning with fire, to darkness, gloom, and storm, to a trumpet blast, or to such a voice speaking words that those who heard it begged that no further word be spoken to them, because they could not bear what was commanded. If any animal touches the mountain, it must be stoned." The sight was so terrifying that Moses said, "I am trembling with fear." "But you have come to Mount Zion, to the heavenly Jerusalem, in the city of the living God. You have come to thousands upon thousands of angels in joyful assembly, to the church of the firstborn, whose names are written in heaven. You have come to God, the judge of all men, to the spirits of righteous men made perfect, to Jesus, the mediator of a new covenant, and to the sprinkled blood that speaks a better word than the blood of Abel. See to it that you do not refuse him who speaks. If they did not escape when they refused him who warned them on earth, how much less will we if we turn away from him who warns us from heaven? At that time his voice shook the earth, but now he has promised, 'Once more, I will shake not only the earth, but also the heavens.' The words 'once more' indicate the removing of what can be shaken, that is, created things, so that what cannot be shaken may remain. Therefore, since we are receiving a kingdom that cannot be shaken, let us be thankful and so worship God acceptably and with reverence and awe. For our God is a consuming fire." May God add his power to these words. Let us seek him in prayer. Father, we thank you. We pray forward unto you that we will learn from this sermon today and be strengthened. That we will be taken from here knowing it was good to be here and make our light shine brighter to those lost in this world. Make us a blessing, Father. And let Christ be seen through us with the power of these words from you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Charles was bright and loved science. Charles was born in Ohio, far from everything, on a little know-nothing farm to immigrant German parents or grandparents or ancestors that came from the German town of Baden-Baden, which is now known as Baden-Württemberg. And he grew up in a family that was close-knit, but something happened. Charles's parents divorced, and he was whisked off in 1909 to live in Los Angeles. Never lost his love for science. And while in Los Angeles, he began to experience the earthquake life. Part of daily life happened a lot. And so as he grew and as science became his mentor and he started to study, he dedicated his life realizing that something needed to be put in place for it to seismology. As a matter of fact, after the 1971 San Fernando earthquake, they cited Charles as being able to prevent many, many deaths. Cited him, even though he had left the field in 1970. Oh, by the way, his name is Charles Francis Richter. At a time when he began to study, he collaborated with Gutenberg, the leading authority on earthquakes at that time. The rate of shocking scale, of earthquake scale, was how bad it shook a building to the ground and how many people died, and it was assigned Roman numerals. But Charles didn't think that that was good enough. A shock that shook chandeliers swinging might be a 1 or 2, while one that destroyed huge buildings and created panic was a 10 or an X. The obvious problem was that there was no means to put in place when it was coming, how powerful it could be, or what it actually did afterwards. Charles decided that his study was to alert people, that his way of collaborating with those before him was to develop a magnitude scale by reading the shocks that were leading up to it. An earthquake doesn't just happen. Now, we know that now because we live in the year 2022. And we've lived now with the Richter scale all of our lives. And we know that there are indicators because of this that something big is going to happen. Because of that, there is now a development called seismic architecture or magnitude appreciation in building buildings. Japan leads the way in trying to make buildings that will survive the strongest of the Richter scale measurements. I have to put my glasses on for this because there's a lot of big words I'm about to throw at you. Strong, ductile, those are big words, ain't they? They use now what's called base isolation and vibration control to minimize deformations in a building. A destructive earthquake struck a lone wooden condominium in Japan live on a webcast. They knew it was coming in 2009 and cleared everybody out. They yielded insight in how to make structures better, stronger, by watching what took place. The Mickey Shake at the Hyogo Earthquake Research Center was a capstone of a 4-year investment that resulted in what's now known as fluid buildivity. They can build walls that will transfer the energy up and down instead of side to side. And buildings will actually move up and down when there's a whole lot of shaking going on. Are you liking how this is coming together, Diane? I have to stop here for a moment and tell you. And I've told you guys on the camera, and I'll tell you guys as well. Every Thursday I get that question, what's the sermon title today? And I love telling her sermon titles because she has no clue. And she's given up after 15 years of trying to figure me out. She's just like, whatever. And when I sent it over this week, I said, whole lot of shaking going on. And I watched the little cursor on my texter thing blink it, blink, 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 blink. Blink, blink. I said, she is rolling that one around in her head. Because usually she's right away. Thank you. Blink, 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 blink. Okay. Can't wait to see what this one's going to be about. Seismic dampening, time embracing, and dampers filled with a whole lot of viscous fluid take away when there's a whole lot of shaking going on and save lives. All because Charles Richter wanted to, after experiencing these earthquakes, wanted to figure out a way to save human life. And this from an avowed atheist who later found his way to a congregation while still searching. Usually right about now, sermons, preachers tend to get into this groove And you can tell how what is going to go on. You don't even need to see the outline. Usually right about now is when I get wound up about explaining everything. But today I want to take us in a different direction. Let's go back to the scripture right now. Hebrews was written by everyone. There's no real clarity as to who the Hebrew writer was. It could have been Paul, could have been Luke, could have been any of them. It's not named for a reason. Even though throughout Hebrews there is touches of the scripture to Timothy, my brother, which would assume that Paul wrote Hebrews, the truth of the matter was that Timothy, in his own strength and his own right, being a powerful minister of the Word of God, was a brother to all the early disciples. Hebrews was written before the destruction of the temple for the third time, roughly. The Hebrew writers, or writer, sought to make sure that the new Christians understood they had a place, both Jewish and Gentile. They had a place in front of God now that was different than the ancestors. And they started off in that verse. You have not come to a mountain that can be touched and that is burning with fire, to darkness and gloom and storm, to a trumpet blast, or to such a voice speaking words that those who heard it begged that no further word be spoken to them, because they could not bear what was commanded. God was not allowed to be approached unless you did the hokey pokey. You put your left foot in, you took your left foot out. You had on the proper clothes, you wore the ephod, you had the rope tied around your waist. You went in, you burnt the incense, you did all this stuff just to get next to God. And now we don't have to. The Hebrew writer is starting off by saying, Christians, everything is yours. Everything is yours. If even an animal touches this mountain, it must be stoned. The sight was so terrified that Moses said, I am trembling with fear. Scared. Trembling. To look at the mountain of God. To look at where the voice of God comes down. To look at where everything is touched. He has a whole lot of shaking going on. Yet they continue to write on that you've come to Mount Zion, to the heavenly Jerusalem. When I read that 22nd verse, the clarity was amazing. We can now approach God. We can approach God through the Holy Spirit. We can approach God with strength and confidence. We can, as Timothy said, study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman rightly discerning the word of truth. We are allowed to do that now. And Hebrew writer is telling the young Christians, and then words that will be for young Christians for the next 2,000 years, and words to strengthen seasoned Christians. Notice I didn't say old or elderly or up there in age Christians. I would never say that, because it's a long walk out that aisleway with everybody trying to throw things at me. Seasoned Christians. The city of the living God. You have come to thousands upon thousands. And I bet you when the Hebrew writer had the quill on the parchment, was sitting there going, I could just write for the next six verses thousands upon thousands upon thousands upon thousands upon thousands of angels singing to us this heavenly chorus. They are in joyful assembly because Jesus, the Son of God, broke everything open to the church of the firstborn, whose names are written in heaven. Written. Written. The day you said, Jesus Christ, come into my life, the day you decided that you did not want to be a part of what the world says, the day you wanted to walk away from it all, your name was written down in the book of life. In the book of life. guaranteeing you whatever is about to happen in a world where there's a whole lot of shaking going on, you are saved. The Hebrew writer continues the words. You have come to God, the judge of all men, to the spirits of righteous men made perfect, to Jesus, the mediator of a new covenant, and to be sprinkled with the blood that speaks a better word than the blood of Abel. How much more pure can it be? So we stop here for a moment and we consider what we're reading. We consider the fact that we are now told that we have everything given to us freely, openly, paid for by the death of Jesus Christ and the spilling of His blood. His physical blood. Now is when I start to talk about the world shaking all around us. You know, we look around with everything that's going on, and it was no different for me this past weekend when I told you what I told you about the tragic loss of a young man to the garbage drug in this world, fentanyl. We shake our heads. Why? We get lost. What do we do? And we as Christians think that we're removed from things. And we as Marylanders oftentimes think that we are removed from a lot of stuff that goes on the West Coast. Damaging earthquakes in California are not a phenomenon, but they are a normal way of life, but that they only really truly occur in California because of the San Andreas Fault. That's misleading. Even though the greatest seismic activity occurs in the Pacific Coast, we felt them here. Perhaps the greatest seismic event to ever occur in North America was one that shook around New Madrid, Missouri in the winter of 1811 to 1812. Was anybody there? I'm just checking. I know I'll get phone calls and emails about that one. Estimates of the magnitude range were as high as 8.7. The intensity was XII, and I don't know my Roman numerals. What is that, 1,000? 12? Okay, well, there you go. It was felt in an area the size of 2.5 million square miles, meaning Maryland, from Missouri. Other damaging earthquakes in the eastern U.S. occur in Boston in 1755 and New York City in the 1700s and the 1800s. But earthquakes have hit Maryland from 1976 to 1985. Most of them low intensity. Most of them you didn't even know it happened. Little shooker, little shaker. Not a whole lot of shaking going on. We are more likely to feel the earthquake from somewhere else reach to us as opposed to it hitting us home. And that is the Christian comparison. More often than not, we feel it come to us. April 1984, one occurred on Easter Sunday, right in the center of Washington, D.C. I'm not even going to begin to tell you how funny that is to me. But as of 1993, 47 earthquakes have occurred right inside these borders. 66 times since 1758, which means we feel one earthquake every 3 years. The last one was in 2011. Oh, I see heads start to go, yep, I remember that. Yeah, there was a whole lot of shaking going on, Pastor Paul. I'm with you. What a sermon title, "You're the Greatest." It was a 5.8 magnitude that hit at 1:51 p.m. on August 23rd, 2011. Today's the 21st. You get where I'm going? It was 38 miles northwest of Richmond, Virginia, and fell across a dozen states. Richard Ort, director of the Maryland Geological Survey, and he's the go-to guy for earthquakes in Maryland, said, I remember it like it was yesterday. I was at the Water Science Center in Catonsville, and that building is constructed on stilts. The whole building started rocking, and I said, what is that? Now, I want you to stop here and think about the irony of that. The man most responsible for knowing about earthquakes in this area, when the building started shaking, said, what's that? He said, we were very concerned, and it definitely showed itself as an earthquake in the primary responses that came back from the readings. And you know, right up here in Garrett County is the other seismic recorder for the state of Maryland. One down on the East Coast, one up on the West. Now, let me be clear. I have a bucket list of things that I am endeavoring to do. I want to do these things before I pass from this terrestrial ball. For example, I desperately want to wrestle an alligator. Not the one down there at them gator farms where they take the mouth shut. I want to go in and get him. I want to tickle his belly and go, say my name. I want to skydive once. I so desperately want to jump out of a perfectly good airplane just to see what it's really all about. I need to make my way somehow, somewhere, some way to the Great Dorset Steam Fair, which incidentally starts this Thursday. And I want to experience an earthquake. You see, the last time we had one here in Maryland, I was driving that old Peterbilt tractor trailer, which has enough vibrations in it that I don't know what's going on half the time. And I was out on the road driving when it hit. And by the time I got down to where I was delivering, I jumped out of the truck and was walking around with my soda pop in my hand, and people were running all around the shingle plant. And I was like, what happened? And I walked in the room there where we go to sign our ticket to dump our load, and the man was in there furiously punching buttons. And I said, John, what happened? He goes, we just had an earthquake. I said, I didn't hit anything. He said, no, Paul, I'm serious. Well, when I turned the radio on, well, next thing you know, my wife calls and she goes, the house is okay. From what? We had an earthquake. No, we didn't. I didn't get to feel it. That's a ripoff. Because while there was a whole lot of shaking going on, that should have been the name of that old Pete I drove anyway. Or we're having an earthquake? Well, I'll never know. But it happened. Just because where you live does not exclude you from that reality. Just because where you live here with Jesus Christ does not exclude you from the reality of the world. There is a whole lot of shaking going on around us. Everywhere we look, things that we can't explain, things that make us hurt, things that break our very heart, that there are so many around us that do not know the love of Jesus Christ. But one of the many devastating pictures that came out of the Central Italy earthquake was the clock tower of Armatus still standing amid the rubble of the town. The clock tower was built in the 13th century and has stood there for 800 years through many earthquakes. The Leaning Tower of Pisa stands since it was built through many of Italy's damaging and deadly earthquakes. There's a whole lot of shaking going on there. But as the scripture continues, see that you do not refuse him who speaks. If they did not escape when they refused him who warned them on earth, how much less will we if we turn away from him who warns us from heaven? At that time, his voice shook the earth. But now his promise, once more, I will shake not only the earth, but also the heavens. The words once more indicate the removing of what can be shaken, that is, created things, so that what cannot be shaken may remain. The reason those buildings stand is the foundation they are built on. The ground, the very ground that they sit on, saves them from mortal destruction when an earthquake hits. And brothers and sisters, our foundation, because we listened, because we accepted, we stand on the solid rock. Verse 26, 28, therefore, since we are receiving a kingdom that cannot be shaken, our foundation. Let us be thankful and so worship God acceptably with reverence and awe. Whole lot of shaking going on, but we Christians, in our faith, in our foundation, in our strength, cannot, should not, ain't not, won't not, will not be shaken. That's how we approach it. We just read that song, or sang that song. Read it. We shall go out with joy. That's right. That's the word. We shall go out with joy and be led forth with peace. The mountains and the hills will break forth before us. And something about all the trees of the field clapping their hands. Because we have no reason to doubt the firm foundation on which we walk, no matter how much around the world, there is a whole lot of shaking going on. Our God is the all-consuming fire that saves us through Jesus Christ, our Savior. Amen?
Amen.
Let us pray. Father, we thank you. We thank you that you give us a way to look at Scripture that comes alive and lifts us up and walks us in the path that you would have. Father, as the world continues to beat down around us, let us be reminded that whatever the earthquake is, whatever the shaking that's going on is, we don't have to worry about it because of our foundation. We will stand. Do with us what you will, Father. Put us out there so that they will know we are Christians, not just by our name, but by where we stand. Thank you, Father. Through Jesus Christ we pray. Amen.